Welcome to Once of All. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by the entire gang, which is Kristen, Karen, Brittany, and Laura. Hello, everyone. Let's start off with the ever-important thumbs up and thumbs down. So I'm going to have Karen start, because I'm intrigued, because I got this message saying that her and Brittany were kind of on opposite ends, and I am now very curious.
It's actually Brittany versus the entire podcast.
Well, I don't know yet. Let's see. Karen, what is your choice?
Mine is actually going to be two thumbs up because I loved this episode. I thought that they hit the perfect mixture of being really funny and also really emotional. And I really, really enjoyed seeing more of Anna and Kristoff's relationship. So I was super happy. I think it's one of the best episodes that Once Upon a Time has done, period.
Okay, Brady, you and I are on the same side of the fence.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I was kind of like, okay, yeah, great. Can I get to next week when everything starts to go crazy? It kind of just felt like it was like this really long segment of waiting for the glass shards to fall. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, it was funny. And yeah, it had the occasional like sappy moment towards that end, but I wasn't like, oh my God, I love it. I don't know. That's just me, though. So, Laura, how about you?
Well, I'm sort of with Karen. I really, really loved it, too. Like, it was my favorite episode all season long, pretty much, as far as a
really?
Whole...
Really? Did I miss some... What did I miss, you guys?
Well,
because I was
I guess...
Like, oh, my God!
Here's why, because I'm not the Frozen person. Like, all season long, I've been like, it is a Frozen commercial. And this time, I mean, there were definitely parts and segments of different episodes that I've really adored, but to find an episode as a whole that I really adored all season, I haven't really hit one of those until today. And I really loved it. I mean, I know a lot of it was set up and everything, but I really loved everybody banding together, you know, trying to come up with a solution. I liked the pace. The only place I got a little bored with was whoever the guy was who was pursuing Anna and Kristoff. I don't know who he
Hans.
Is. Hans. Okay, so the non-Frozen person doesn't know who he was. He was annoying and melodramatic and boring, and I also didn't like the Blackbeard guy either. But other than those two little minor problems, I really loved the episode as a whole.
I would like to point out in the show notes, I have Hans ... seriously. That's how I refer to him, so...
Everybody hates Hans, so you're on the right track, Laura.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and he was just sort of like, I mean, the only thing he was missing was tying her to a railroad tracks and twisting his mustache. I mean,
this
pretty much.
Twisting of the mustache.
I mean, he'd have to, like, twist his sideburns, but yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Karen. All right. Brittany, go ahead and tell us how you feel.
Okay. I am a huge thumbs down. This was one of the worst episodes all season. And it was so poorly done. All they wanted to do, it's like they had to hit fast forward in this episode. So they're like, oh, okay. So especially the part that you were just talking about, Laura, where they're on the ship. It's like, oh, by the way, we're here. We're at this location. This is what happened here. We're just going to throw Blackbeard in because, you know, he was a great actor and we just want to bring him back. And like, this is where the ship is. Oh, we fast forwarded 30 years. So your timelines are the same. It was so cheap. Everything felt so cheap and rushed, and just to get to the second part of this episode, which I think they could have done this one in 15 minutes and hit all the emotional points that they hit. It was just, I thought it was a waste of an hour. I was waiting. I hardly typed any notes while I was writing my recap, waiting for something to happen. Then I realized, oh my, it's 8:45. I should probably start writing up all the nonsense that didn't happen. I was very disappointed.
Yeah, see, that I felt like I was waiting and that nothing happened. That's how I felt.
Yeah, but I think that all the emotional scenes were fantastic and they were great acting, especially Regina's. And I loved all the funny moments, but it was not enough to make up for everything else.
I do will say I did get a little lost in the whole timeline thing. I was getting confused with the 30 years and the urn, and I know what you mean there. I was going, well, I'm trying to keep
track.
Yeah,
I feel like hit a point where they were like, oh, we haven't answered this. Here you go. You were actually just frozen for 30 years.
Yeah, I did. I have to say, I absolutely did get kind of confused in that. I felt like I was on Doctor Who with the TARDIS and going wibbly wobbly. I was getting very confused there. So I do understand what you're saying with that.
All right, Kristen, how about you?
Well, I fall on the Karen and Laura side of things.
Yay!
I rather enjoyed this episode. Like, maybe not the best they've ever done, because there are episodes that I loved, but I really, really enjoyed it. I loved seeing Christoph and Anna together and being themselves. Like, I felt like it could easily fit into the movie. Like, they did a really great job, and it was really touching.
Were you
touching.
Totally just swayed by Christoph? Be honest. Was it the Christoph
Well, I mean...
Pull?
I am
totally
a Scott Michael Foster fangirl.
It totally was, wasn't it? It totally was. It's okay.
But, I mean, I really, really liked everything that happened. I like build-up. Like, I knew we were getting this curse, and so seeing them all freaking out, trying to figure out a way to solve the problem before it gets here, for me, was intriguing enough all on its own. Like, I didn't need to worry about what was going to happen when it got there, because I was already with like completely involved in just trying to figure out how to save them before it ever hit. So
yeah, but see, we all know that it's going to hit because we've seen the previews where, because last week's previews showed them being like angry and mad at each other. So the entire episode, I'm waiting for the curse to hit and for those things to start happening, when really that's just going to be the next episode. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the preview showed us more than it should have. So yeah. There was this expectation that there would be more action than there was. So, like, literally, this was, like, the stalling game. Oh, look, there's the ominous cloud way off. We have until nightfall. Let's do all of these nonsensical things because we all know the curse is going to come anyway.
Yeah,
like,
and
we
they
as
felt
viewers
like they
knew
they
it was going
to
come.
Then they had to get Anna back, and it was so cheap the way they got Anna back. It was like, I didn't even care. I was like, okay, you're together. Let's move on. Sort of.
I had my issues with how exactly they got Anna back and why the necklace had to be present for that. I had my own issues with that, but it didn't take away from my enjoyment of it. So
it was 90% of the episode, which is why I was very disappointed. Like, the 10% that was them all saying goodbye to each other and figuring out how to stay apart, and Regina's little speech, I think, were great, but ugh, the rest of it, so disappointing.
Yeah, all right, so let's move on before we just rip this episode to shreds one way or another.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's the best Onceable yet with the split 50-50. This is hilarious. So
so let's talk about our favorite quotes. I have to say I picked two because it was hard to pick. I will say this episode definitely had the right amount of snark. I did enjoy that. So both of mine are from Regina, who was – her ever charming snarky little self. And the first one is everyone into this hope thing now? And then the second one is, I should know better than to trust blondes by now. So love, Regina. Karen, do you want to give us yours?
Yes, I pulled a Jen and picked two as well, because I couldn't choose. This episode had so many good lines, and a lot of the ones that I loved made it into everyone else's choices, so I was really happy to see that. But my first favorite one was when Snow goes, if the mayor only has to worry about one villain and it's herself, that frees up a lot of time for infrastructure. And I just really love it when Snow gets angry, and so that's always nice to see. And then the other one comes from Anna when she goes, you rolled around in gold bars? Weird. And ouch. And I just think that they've done such a fantastic job capturing Anna's personality. And I was really, really worried that they weren't going to do it. But every episode that she's been in, I think it just keeps getting better and better. And this one just kind of culminated, I think, in the best version of her so far.
Okay. And Laura?
I chose Mary Margaret, and I think this is the first time I'm ever choosing Mary Margaret, because most of the time she just irritates the crap out of me. But I really loved it when she said, Well, it seems that Elsa's blind faith is exactly what's screwing us right now. And Regina right away then says, coming from you, that's just terrifying. And I loved it because I just always find Mary Margaret too pathetically sweet and syrupy good. And I just loved her, like, losing her stuff and Regina going, oh my God, Mary Margaret's going postal. That's terrifying. So I totally enjoyed that.
Excellent. Yeah, that was kind of a funny one, too. I definitely enjoyed that one. All right, Kristen.
Yeah, I, like Karen, was happy to see most of the ones that I loved make it into everybody else's, but I chose Emma's line. She's talking to Elsa, and she says, Regina kept a whole dragon under there for 28 years. I'm sure you can fit a small princess, too. I died, and it took me back to her fighting a dragon with her gun, you know, back in, what, season one?
Yeah.
And it just, it made me really, really happy, and I loved it. So good.
Awesome. And Brittany.
Well, I'm one for a good pun. So when they're all on the ship and Hans is like, oh, we're going to put you in this trunk. And Blackbeard goes, yeah, I was rescued by mermaids. And this is like an anti-mermaid trunk. And he says, this trunk will make sure you die without finterference. And I thought it was so funny because he's like, he thinks that he is hilarious. And he just starts like cracking up and like makes eye contact with everyone on board. And they all just have to start laughing. And I thought it was great.
Yeah, that one was kind of funny. Leo, love it, love it. All right, so let's, I guess, dive into the episode a little bit more because there's some things to talk about, and then I don't know. All right, so let's start off with Gold's deal with the Snow Queen. The opening is Gold and the Snow Queen having a moment, and he basically wants to strike a deal with her because he is immune from the curse, if I understand correctly. Yes? Because he's immortal? Is that what it was?
I think
he's going to be out of town. Like, he wasn't going to be the border where he could be affected.
For some reason, I thought there was something before that he was telling her. Anyway, so he wants to make a deal with the Snow Queen to get Belle, his grandson, and himself out of town before the curse hits. And he basically tells her, if you do this for me, I will not hunt you down for the rest of my immortal life. He basically threatens her in a pretty serious way by ripping her heart out. That's his threat. And she agrees that she'll protect them. And so before Gold kind of moves forward with anything else, he then goes and finds Hook and puts Hook in a really awkward position. So what did you guys think about Gold's conversation with the Snow Queen?
First cop out of the episode.
Why?
Because, of course, they have to get Gold to have some sort of leverage. And I thought it was a cheap way for him to be so helpless and then to come in and be like, oh, well, I'll just rip your heart out. So can you just make sure we get a ticket out of here? I'm already frustrated with Gold, but I was like, okay, we know that that's going to happen. He has to have something to play against the Snow Queen. He can't just be having to turn around and be on everyone's side again. So I got it. But looking back, I'm more like, okay, well, that was strike one.
I was looking at him and I was thinking, at first I was thinking, well, why doesn't he just take her out right there?
Yes.
And then I thought, well, maybe it's because their magic is kind of evenly matched at this point. I wasn't really sure. So I thought maybe it wasn't a certainty if he did that. So I did think about that. But I did find his leverage interesting. What he was basically saying was, if, you know, you allow this curse to take place, what's going to happen is I am going to be, you know, my priority is going to be killing you because there's nobody that I would hate more than I hate you. So he was basically saying, if you allow this curse to come to pass, I become your biggest threat. And I thought, oh, that was kind of an interesting way of going at it. But I was a little suspicious in that he didn't, that he didn't just try to get, you know, take her out there in the woods, like surprise attack. I don't know. Maybe he was just playing for more of the certainty or I don't know. I was just kind of surprised about it. I was also like really surprised that suddenly he, like, Henry means something to him again. I was like, really? Okay. Because I thought Belle was everything to you, but all of a sudden now you care about Henry again? That's interesting.
That was my biggest, like, I was just like, oh, so now you're concerned with Henry's well-being. You weren't last week when you were trying to take his mother away from him permanently. Like, oh, you didn't seem to give a crap at all. Now, Henry is important to you and you want to make sure he leaves with you. Like, what makes you think he's going to leave with you and leave Regina and his mother behind? Like,
yeah.
That makes no sense to me. Like, I just, it kind of drove me crazy, and Gold has been all season long, that he now is including Henry in his plans when he's never seemed to care before.
You know how I started thinking about it? It's almost like Henry's a possession. And to me, like, Belle is almost like they're a possession. Like, he likes, like, they're, like, not people to him. They're, like, things. Like, Henry is his flesh and blood. Okay, he's mine. Like, this is something I get to collect. And Belle, okay, she's someone who cares about me. It's very weird. It's like they're almost not people. Like, they're possessions, or I don't really want to say, like, status symbols to him, but almost like it's just like they're things instead of real people to him.
Well, I also think that Henry and Belle are the only two who have shown that they do trust him. Everyone else in the town is sort of just like whatever, but Henry has had those moments where he's shown up at the shop asking for his memories to go away. He's shown up there to, like, work, even though it's under the guise of looking for something for Operation Mongoose. Gold doesn't know that.
Right.
But I think that they're the only two who have any sort of, have shown him any sort of true connection. So that was my thought with that. I didn't pay too much attention to that as opposed to me. I was hoping that Gold got a little more, like, security from the, on the Snow Queen's part, because this cloud is coming and he has a limited amount of time. I was kind of hoping he had, like, a fail safe, you know, to, like, get him out.
Right.
If he didn't get the fairy's magic, but that was too much to think about at the moment.
Well, I assumed a couple of things. I assumed that Rumpel, because I'm pretty sure he said somewhere during the episode that because he was the Dark One, he assumed that he would be immune to the curse. I don't know if that's a sort of like a, I assume this, it's definitely true, or just like, hey, we'll see what happens sort of thing. The other thing is, I don't think he would have killed the Snow Queen White right then and there, because he wanted, I think he wants everybody else in town dead. And so he wasn't going to kill her before the curse happened. But I think, you know, if Belle had died, and I guess Henry too, you know, he would have spent the rest of his life going after her. But then I was kind of confused about the Henry thing too. Maybe it's because he sees him as a possession. Maybe he cares about him. I don't know. I sort of saw it as he has something up his sleeve and he needs Henry. I don't know if it's for, you know, some sort of security, or if it's just like he knows, because Rumpel can pull strings and knows a lot of things, that he needs Henry for something else down the line. I mean, he has the heart of the truest believer, so that's pretty powerful. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know what he needs Henry for, but it did feel a little contrived that all of a sudden he needed Henry as well. So I guess we'll find out next week why he needs Henry and what that's all about. So then we go from that scene, we actually cut to the scene where everyone is looking out the window of the clock tower. I'm sorry, did anyone else find this, like, hysterical? Did it not seem ridiculous
yes.
to you?
Yeah, this is like this was the scene that they, like, released early, and I was like, oof, all right.
I was like, what is...
Yeah. I love that watching. David and Mary Margaret were kind of looking in opposite directions. Like, she's looking straight out and he's looking, like, over to the side. And I was like, they didn't quite pinpoint where the spell was coming from to them at all. Like, they're all looking in different directions.
Okay.
They should have, like, put a tennis ball somewhere and be like, right. This is the tennis ball. This is the clown.
And can I just say, once again, it is a purple smoke monster. Can we just make it, Are curses always purple?
With sparkles.
Is that what we're trying to say?
There was a green one last season.
Like, seriously, can we not just, I don't know, I could be down for, like, a yellow smoke monster or an orange smoke monster. Can we have a smoke monster that's a new color? I'm tired of purple smoke
Didn't we
monsters.
Get a green one?
Yeah, last season for the Wicked Witch. Yeah. But it's only because it fit her personality, but, I guess.
I mean,
I don't know.
Just, I want a new color for this, and it's always a smoke monster. It's, I guess, because there maybe curses are supposed to be smoke monsters, so I need to get over that, but I need it to be a new color. I'm just tired of the purple.
They needed it to be able to be something you could see, and that's, I think, that why they keep using smoke, is you have to be able to see this curse happening. Because other words, it's just like that pulse thing that they...
But you couldn't see the shards of glass and stuff. Like,
but it's slow-mo smoke, too. Like, it's like, look, here's the giant...
This one hovered for a while.
I know, it's slowly coming at you.
I feel like it would get there faster than sundown.
I was just going to say, lake effect snow happens faster than that does. Oh my
gosh. What if there was a breeze? Like, what if it just come in?
Seriously.
I do not know. It was odd, to say the least. So that moment was really kind of funny for me. And then we go, and they go to the snow wall, and David's all like, I'm going to bust through this beast. And when he does, the snow wall kicks him back and, like, grows more. I'm like, oh, that's probably not a good sign.
I have a question about the snow wall.
Sure.
So... they kept saying the whole town is secured by the snow wall, but it didn't grow on the water until this episode. All of a sudden, this episode hooks like, there it goes.
I think it started to grow in the water because they were attempting to escape that way. Like, I don't think it necessarily existed out there.
I thought in retrospect, because like I wrote it down, like I'm looking at the recap notes right now, being like, so they could have tried before this, like that wasn't an option, but I guess
I just thought it was so weird.
Or I figured it was further out to sea or something, because they did say it surrounds the whole town, so I figured inevitably they would run into it at different points.
Yeah.
It's all very fascinating, this snow wall that can shift and change. Now, here's my question, because we haven't talked about Arendelle yet, but intermixed in this part, we get to see Anna and Kristoff be defrosted, essentially, and realize that Rumple has the urn because she finds his piece of straw. Now, at the time, I didn't know that Anna and Kristoff being defrosted was in, like, equivalence to what was going on in Storybrooke. I was a little confused. I had no idea what time the defrost was happening.
Yeah, I got very confused with all of that, too.
In relation to regular time. But, now, why was the magic released from holding Anna and Kristoff?
Because that's what the Snow Queen wanted. She was planning something.
Okay, I'm just checking because I'm like, is it that she's defrosted them because all of her magic is being pulled into the spell, in which case, why does the snow wall defrost too? Like, it was a little confusing, so.
Well, I could see the argument clearly the Snow Queen wants to do a spell where everybody is at each other's throats, although if Anna is now immune to it, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe her revenge is to watch Kristoff hate Anna. I don't know. I guess part of what she wants to watch is havoc get wrecked around her. I don't know.
Well, I think she assumed that Hans could take care of them, and maybe she was waiting for him and his brothers to arrive and be there. So as soon as they were there and like able to, you know, to take care of them, she defrosted them. Like, I didn't think anything of it. I just assumed that she knew that Hans was there and could take out her, you know, the only threat left.
Well, yeah, because Hans was frozen too, because he and his brothers were still at the castle. So they've all been frozen for the last 30 years.
Yeah, Hans was in that closet.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot he was frozen. I don't know then. I don't know.
So, well, I'm assuming that she didn't think that Anna was going to make it to Elsa, would be my guess. Because how would she have gotten in? Anna didn't know that she had the Wishing Star. So, Elsa, rather, didn't know she had the Wishing Star. So how on earth would she have been able to pull her in? Do you know what I mean? There was no guarantee that Anna was ever going to make it back to Storybrooke. There was no way for her to get there. So the fact that she did was, from what we saw, a pure coincidence.
maybe it was a draw for power. Like, she didn't need them frozen anymore. She didn't need to waste the power that she was. You know, I could see that. That makes logical sense, that it wasn't worth her effort anymore. So she just let the let that spell go so that she could focus more power on Storybrooke and what was about to happen. That makes sense.
It's the only thing I could think of, because it just seems really odd that she defrosted them. But who knows? So let's stick with the Arendelle storyline for a second, because as soon as they're defrosted, because I don't know what else to call them, they were thawed, Hans comes in, and he is ridiculous. I am sorry. He's even more ridiculous than the Hans in the movie. I'm just like, he steps on screen, and I'm like, oh, somebody please freeze him back up.
Because just punch him in the face.
Please do. Him and his ridiculous brothers. And so there's that whole moment with them, and then Anna and Kristoff get away, and he turns back up again.
And he does this, like, exposition, like, spill. He's like,
yeah,
you've been frozen for 30 years. We're at the exact part where your parents died. Also, I'm going to put you in this trunk. Blackbeard now has the Jolly Roger, so that's who Hook traded his ship to get Emma back. It's like he just gives you all of this information that we didn't know, and he's like, okay,
huge info
bye.
Dump.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely huge
And it comes from the worst person.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I was losing like half of it. I was just like, well, what? I was just like, and for a minute there, I was like, are they going to do like a Pirates of the Caribbean thing there for a second? Like in the trunk and
mermaids and all.
I was just like very, very confused as to the whole process of give you the gold, don't buy the gold. I agree with you, Brittany, there. I was, like, very confused. I was like, okay, so the point is somehow they're getting shoved in a trunk, and I don't understand why. Like, I definitely got confused at that point.
I will say the only reason I didn't absolutely hate Hans was because we got the Anna line, I sang with you. And that was enough for me. It made my day. I was like, that is fabulous. Move on.
Kristoff's face when Higgy said that was so great. Because I think he finally put two and two together being like, or he already knew about Hans, but he was like, again, like I have to be reminded of this.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I loved it. I just, little things.
All right, so, oh boy. So that kind of plays out, and Anna's basic idea is to go find the Wishing Star, and that's how she thinks she'll find Elsa. That's when they see Blackbeard, Hans arrives, they get chucked into the ocean, and from there, we kind of get connected with Storybrooke. But before we jump too far ahead, back in Storybrooke, Belle actually is working with the fairies, and she finds a counter spell for the Spell of Shattered Sight. And the idea is that they need somebody that's already been spelled by it, which would be Anna. Or they could use the necklace, which has some of the shattered glass left in it from the last time the spell was cast. So they want to use one or the other. When Elsa goes to look for Anna, she can't find her, even though she thinks she knows where she is. And then she kind of refuses to give up the necklace.
Annoying.
I know. And as this plan is going on, Gold has his own plan. He wants the power of the fairies. So he sends Hook in to basically steal the fairies in general with the hat. And at first, Belle won't leave them. She's insistent on staying to try to make this right. And was it me, or was that interaction between Belle and Gold really, really odd the first time?
It was a little awkward. I was wondering if Belle was suspecting him of something. I definitely found it a little awkward myself.
They almost felt like strangers in a way. Like, in some way, the way in which she spoke with him was really, really odd.
Actually, that's something that I noticed throughout the episode, not just with the two of them, but with Snow and Charming and a few of the other characters. I felt like even before the Spell of Shattered Sight started, people were getting really snippy with each other and sort of like, yeah, in opposition to each other, like Belle and Rumpel were. And I wasn't sure if that was part of it or if, I don't know, the writers were just getting ahead of themselves. But did anyone else notice that?
Yeah, and I think it was because what's in every character's, like, in the back of their mind is like, I'm about to say a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to be able to control. And so I think they're kind of like preemptively pushing each other away, which it kind of makes sense in a way, because like Belle is probably thinking, I'm going to tell this guy that he's an awful, awful human being after I spent years trying to convince him that he's not.
And funny, Belle, but you wouldn't be wrong there.
Exactly.
Or the other thing I still keep thinking, too, is somewhere in the back of Belle's mind is, like, the information that she kind of kept hidden and didn't come out with. And I'm wondering if, like, the guilt is playing on her, and that's what's causing her to act awkwardly. Because I could really see, you know, Belle being plagued by guilt, whereas Rubble clearly doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's way more a part of his character than hers. So, I don't know. Before this, the lovely spell can come in, Regina, of course, goes to Robin to warn him. And his new best mate, Will Scarlet, kind of helps break up camp and get everybody situated. Did you guys think that was funny? He's like, Will Scarlet!
I did. I love that.
I was like, Michael Soka, make sure he gets his, you know, 5 minutes of screen time. I like it.
So I'm kind of concerned, like, what, I don't know if anybody else felt like this too, but I felt like, so what happens to poor little Roland? I mean, not that I'm not concerned for Henry, but Henry is a teenager, so he's more able to fend for himself. But I was really concerned with, like, oh my God, what happens to poor little Roland during this curse? Like, what happens to him?
Well, didn't Robin say he's off with someone where he would not be able to reach him?
Right. He and Marion are locked away somewhere. And as far as we know, Marion's still a popsicle, so all is
okay, gone. Wait. So I have a question. Marion is no longer sitting on that couch in the room that Henry's in.
As far as I can tell, yeah.
So they wheeled popsicle Marion somewhere, locked Roland right. in with popsicle Marion, because that's not going to traumatize him.
Oh, my God.
And left them unsupervised, because that's going to end well.
No, but I think he left one of his merry men with
him. And I guess, realistically speaking, like, the merry man doesn't have anything against Roland or Popsicle Marion, so hopefully that works out okay. I mean, because I don't know.
I wonder if they left Will with them.
Maybe, so Will has, like, no ambivalent feelings to either one of them, so maybe that's
fine.
No,
he really doesn't. Yeah.
That still sounds like a terrible idea, though.
I know. Yeah. Well, this is what I think is so funny, is that they're all locking themselves away in places. I'm like, yeah, Regina, I love your little force field that you've locked yourself in with, but really, is that going to do any good when you want to get out?
Yeah, let's I know. I did. I thought of that. I was like, that's
Caitlin brought that up on Twitter. She was like, "That you're just going to unlock yourself, like, as soon as you're done.
Right, like, it's one thing to be put in a prison cell. It's another to be like, oh, I'm going to cast my little spell over this doorway and nobody can come in, but I'm going to leave whenever I want. Come on.
Right.
I don't know. It was just kind of, it was funny to see her try to lock herself in. There was no point in that. We all know when Regina's got something on her mind, she's going to take care of it. So
can we talk more about Regina in that scene real quick? Because she was like staring at Robin, and I mean, this is totally right on Laura's radar, but when she was like staring at Robin and she like said all the things about she knows the person that she's going to become again, it was such good acting. Like, this was one of those like 10% moments that was just so good. That whole scene was just beautifully done.
Yeah, I loved it, even if it was not a Robin Regina moment. I loved it just for Regina's lines alone, that she was going to lock herself away for the greater good of everybody else. And the fact that she's talking about how she can't stand to know what he's going to look at her with and what Henry will look at her with. But I just love that whole moment for just Regina doing and acting for the greater good. That's just so huge.
Yeah, no, that scene was fantastic. And the other scene that I really liked was once Hook did Gold's bidding, the moment between he and Hook when he's like, basically, your life is done tomorrow to Hook. And that, I don't know, there was just something about that that was really well done. That could just
be. Yeah, I think that and there was Colin O'Donoghue's scene. Yeah, Colin O'Donoghue's scenes where he didn't say anything, following that moment and the moment where he's hiding behind the counter, were two of, like, the best acted scenes of the entire episode.
Yeah. When he, like, starts to cry, I'm just like, no, stop it.
That man can do a longing stare like none other.
Yes.
Like, he just, all he has to do is stand and stare at Emma for 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God, just kill me now. Like, I just feel for him every second of it. It just,
I just hate sad Hook, though. It's so hard to watch. I love sassy, sexy Hook where, he could just stare at Emma and you're like, whew, somebody turn off the air. But when he's like this, it just crushes my soul.
Yeah. It was a little soul crushing tonight with that whole, I don't know, it was hard watching him with the tears and the pain, and Gold better get what's coming to him as well.
Oh my gosh. The whole time he was with the little cone hat of death or whatever
the hat of death.
I was just like, no, no.
And when he gets blue,
I was just like, you can't. Fairy. I know. I was like, stop. You've got apologizes. To stop.
So look, Rumple is dead to me. I don't care.
Just for what he's doing, the Hook, he's dead.
I mean, you know, aside from that, it actually pisses me off more what he's doing to Belle, because Belle loves him unconditionally, and she knows the kind of person he is, and she still has faith in him, and he's just throwing it away. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's okay. No, you, by all means, get it out, Karen. So bad. Get it out. So, all right, so then we have the whole Regina tries to convince the Charmings to save the town by getting Elsa to give up her necklace. We all know that doesn't happen. Then Elsa and Emma end up on the beach searching for Anna.
Wait, can we read it exactly how you wrote it? Because it, like, summarizes my feelings perfectly. Elsa searches for Anna but can't find her, ends up on the beach. That is it is so blasé and my exact feelings for that whole scene.
Exactly. Okay, love did it. Anyone else, and this could totally be me, but did anyone else notice that they had, like, super blur on behind them because there were, like, randoms on the beach on both angles? Like, on the on both cross shots?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, is that rock moving? Oh! Yeah,
I know, it's like...
At one point, there were two people walking, like, at the very beginning, and I thought it was Anna. Like, I thought she was making her way around, and I was like, oh, there you go. And then it just stopped, and they didn't move again. And I was like, okay.
I'm like, what, you couldn't keep the people off the friggin' beach?
Like, I know.
You couldn't make that happen?
It's like,
come on.
I know.
It wasn't that long of a shoot.
It was like, are the PAs in the back shot? Like, what happened? Or it's a public beach and they can't restrict access. I got confused, because when they broke through, I was like, I felt like they were breaking through. Okay, so here's the question. Did they broke through to another world, right? They didn't just break through to somewhere else in Storybrooke,
right? No, that was Storybrooke.
That got me, too. I thought they were on the beach of Arendelle for a minute there.
Or Storybrooke. Some other place. I was, like, very confused.
Even more lame, they were in Storybrooke.
So then I just was really confused. So if you go deep down in the library... You come out on the beach. I was just...
You never know what those minds
Wait go. A second. Because were they really... Okay. Was... this is getting confusing. Okay, because they were dropped off the ship. But the ship wasn't in Storybrooke because we would have seen it.
Yeah,
so...
No, realms when
the Wishing
Elsa
Star pulled
brought
them.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had that correct.
And conveniently, it also pulled the bottle through that the mom dropped in the water.
Yes, conveniently. It was in the same area.
It just happened to make its way with them, even though it wasn't wished for or in the box. Not quite sure how that happened.
And clearly that bottle is going to solve, like, a multitude of
everything.
But
I was really afraid that Kristoff wasn't going to come with Anna, and I would have been super upset.
When they showed them,
where I was concerned.
When they showed them, like, grasping hands, I was like, yes, him, and I can tell you right now that he's going to go with her because their hands are, they're holding hands at that moment. And then the whole trunk went, and I went, okay, well, they were in the trunk together, so it works. But I thought it was just going to be the two of them holding hands that showed up on, you know, wherever.
This is probably going to be really mean because I don't like Kristoff still that much, although I did like him this episode as opposed to every other episode where I was like, whatever. But can I tell you, I'm looking so forward to him being hit with the spell of Shattered Sight. I want to see Mean
Kristoff.
I think
he's going to be so funny.
I want to see Mean Vindictive Kristoff so bad.
What's he going to be mean about, though? I don't know.
He was raised by a rock lichen person.
a rock troll. It is a rock troll, Laura.
So
he's so watching Frozen
and
over
a
Christmas
reindeer
break.
That talks. He's got to have some.
Oh, whoa! You better
feelings. Do not.
I was going to say, you better make it easy on Sven. I don't know if I control Kristen. Sven,
yeah, do not poke fun at Sven. I will take you down.
It's an animatronic reindeer. I mean, I want to watch him go all badass on the animatronic reindeer and the roly-poly lichen guy. This is what I'm living for.
Oh, my God. Oh, what I want is Kristoff, like, complaining about Hans and being like, why didn't I get a song? I wanted a song. We're getting married. I need a song.
And that's probably what his complaint will be. That's the funny part, Karen.
No, I'm a little bit worried about what Kristoff could say. Like, I mean, it always seems like the most happy-go-lucky characters have some really crazy...
the darkest, deepest secrets.
And we don't know how Kristoff came to be by himself. Like, we know in Frozen we saw him, you know, find the rock trolls and, like, be raised by them. But we don't know how he became a little boy by himself. And
yeah,
so
he was working with the ice people for a while.
Right.
Yeah. All of a sudden he was alone.
So I'm, you know, like, I'm a little nervous about what he might have in his past. Like, the happy-go-lucky characters tend to have some darkness, and it makes me a little scared. But we'll see. We'll see.
I'm not sure they could actually... like touch that considering there's this whole, you know, thought of Frozen 2. So I'm not really sure what they would be allowed to play with, to be honest. I think you could be safe.
Yeah. Okay. I also really enjoyed Kristoff and David being like, you cut your hair. No, you cut your hair.
The bromance between David and Kristoff. And then he's like, Joan, and everyone's like, what? And no one was like overly surprised that David happened to know them both so well.
Oh, well, they explained it. Remember when
they
needed to take
fire, but I don't know, but I just still think it's amusing that everyone's like, okay, cool. I don't know. It's odd. It's all very odd to me.
Oh, but let's go back. Right. Can we talk about their goodbye in the trunk?
You're like, wait, Jed, we are not down there.
Yes.
Because that almost, like, that was like Titanic level old people going to sleep, mother tucking their kids in, like, before the Titanic went down.
It was pretty brutal. Like, there were some brutal goodbyes, but that one I think takes the cake for the episode, quite frankly.
Without
she's
a doubt.
Like trying to marry him, and he's like, no, we're not marrying in a drowning box. Like, we will be buried on land. Like, he was so adamant. But she was to see Anna in that, like, state was so, gut wrenching because it's not her. It's not her in any way. So if she was that far, that it was bad. It was a bad situation, kids. So go ahead, continue that conversation, because, I agree.
That was the part where I very nearly just broke down in tears, because it was really beautiful and very sad. And I think you're right. I think a lot of it comes from the fact that Anna's usually the optimistic one, and she had just given up hope. And it was Kristoff, who's usually very practical and realistic, who's like, no, we're going to get out of this. Don't you worry. And... I mean, I don't know if they would have been able to get out of the trunk by themselves, but it was very, very lucky that the wishing spell kind of enacted when it did.
Very true. Anyone else have any thoughts or feelings about Kristoff and Anna's goodbye?
Kristen. Come on, Kristen.
It's hard to talk about. It's just hard to talk about. No, I thought it was a really, really beautiful little moment for two characters who for 3 or 4 episodes now have just been funny and like trading snaps back and forth. And to see that break down in like maybe 2 minutes, like it wasn't a very long scene. It wasn't, you know, drawn out, but you saw Anna lose it. Like she lost that spark that she has, and it was just so incredibly real for a show about, you know, wizards and witches and people with powers and, you know, curses and
smoke monsters, you got this moment where she lost her hope. And thank God Kristoff hadn't given up. He was determined to figure out a way. And, you know, lo and behold, this wishing star saved their lives. But it just, it was so beautiful. It was such a perfect little moment. And I, yeah, it's hard to talk about. I love it.
All right. There were other goodbyes as well. Then we have, of course, what's a show without a curse and the Charming saying goodbye? Because I feel like I've watched them say goodbye like a bajillion and one times, and it no longer affects me.
Call because me. They always find each other. There's
that's you right. Know? I will always find you.
And they're sharing anyway. A heart now.
Yeah, this time you have the added benefit of them having two halves of one heart. So what could possibly go wrong?
I can't even right now. So I have to say I was not necessarily moved by the Charming's love fest. And again, the whole Emma thing. I'm like, really? How many times this, even this season, I feel like it's this constant thing with Emma and tears and the Charming's. I don't know.
And I was very worried for that baby. I thought they were going to lock the baby in with snow. And I was like, that's not a good idea. And right. Then they were like, you're taking your brother here. And I was like, oh, okay, good.
Emma, you need to save the world and keep us all from killing each other. By the way, can you babysit?
Can you isn't babysit? It, like, oh, disturbing.
Well,
I don't know.
I was sort of, I mean, they had to give the baby to someone, but I found it alarming that Mary Margaret thought that she wouldn't, the baby wouldn't be safe with her. That's just alarming.
Yeah,
that's a little telling,
or that
the
baby wouldn't be safe with David. I just was really kind of surprised with that. Or even like Henry, go lock the baby in with Henry. I didn't think that would be a bad thing either, really.
One never knows.
Like a giver situation, like Emma's got like a baby Bjorn on and like is trying to like...
Oh, God. It's getting better. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Whew. Anyway, moving on from the Charming's goodbye, which was, you know, awkward as always. We have Emma, who's crying ugly tears at this point. Hands off Neil to Elsa so she can go say goodbye to Hook. Now, this one, this goodbye was a little bit more gut-wrenching for me because I don't know Hook's fate, and it makes me very nervous. Like, I'm really, really nervous for Hook. And that could, in Hook's eyes, his goodbye was his final goodbye.
He's dying. He's yeah. not getting out. He's like, not getting right. out of this alive, and he's not going to torture her by telling her he's
right.
not coming out of
well,
this.
Well, he also doesn't want her to know how bad he was, I think. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Well, God, because that was he, because to the watch. Because the self because he did confess it all. I mean, he confessed it onto her cell phone. But the fact is, what I maybe I've lost it. What did Gold erase the cell phone message or wherever
he
it is?
Took Emma's phone and got rid of it? Yeah.
Okay, because he did attempt to come clean, and it just
right.
unfortunately didn't.
It work. Didn't work because Gold interfered. Mm-hmm. Shocker. So yeah, so that one, that goodbye was definitely a little harder for me to watch because it feels like it could be very final and I'm not down with that at all.
Yeah, the way that Hook said goodbye, just that one word, it sounded final and I was like, oh God, this feels very ominous.
And he didn't even like look back. He like turned in one swift move, was right down the hallway. Like he did
right.
not spare any time.
I'm so, not okay.
I kind of have a question about this because when, what's his face? The hunter, what was his name?
Graham.
I want to call him Grant. That's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nope. I was going to say that.
Ward. Yeah.
Totally different.
Graham, when he didn't have his heart, he didn't feel anything, but I feel like Hook is feeling things. Like, he's sad and he's upset, and I don't know if there's a difference or if that maybe is just, like, a mistake or what you guys think of that.
Well, I think Will, without his heart, still felt things, too. He just... With him, it was just this feelings towards Anastasia he couldn't find. But he still, like, you know, he still felt for Alice that whole time when he was heartless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Regina, the same thing. Like, I mean, when she didn't have her heart, she still felt for Henry. And, like all of that stuff. But I agree with you, Karen. It's a little fuzzy on what the rules are.
It's inconsistent and how the heart thing works. Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think Hook is way stronger than he's allowing himself to be. I think when it comes right down to it, Hook is strong enough to do what he wants to do. And if he really pushed himself, that he could probably overcome Rumple and his nastiness. But that's a different story, I guess.
God, I hope so. Because if Emma loses one more guy in her life, I think she's
just gonna
join the nunnery and
she'll become a fairy. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say she's gonna hang out with a blue fairy, but I don't know what the fate of the blue fairy is right now. So
blue fairy.
Maybe not.
No, I was hoping she would get away. I kind of felt like she would get away and be the one to rat out Hook, and then we would go from there. So I'm a little thrown off by the fact that that did not happen.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Maybe
so,
Tinkerbell can come back and rescue them somehow.
I was thinking that. I'm like, well, Tink is still going to be out there somewhere.
She's making a zombie TV show.
Yeah, which, I don't know. All right. Well, do you guys have anything else for this episode? I feel like we really kind of touched on all the really important stuff. Or the non-important stuff, as you will.
I just wanted to mention the very, very last moment of the episode where the Charmings are holding hands and then they pull apart, and just the way that they look at each other was chilling. And I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I agree. Except the 30 seconds before that, when everyone looked like they were like putting in contacts for the first time, like as it was falling on them, I was like, all right, guys, come on. Right?
Glass in their eyes. So
yeah, they're all like blinking like,
Well, and it's interesting too, because it's not like you forget the other person. Like, for example, like if I'm understanding how this works exactly, it's not that you forget the experiences that you've had with this other person. It's not that you don't know the good side of it. It's just that suddenly the bad or things that you would normally forgive overpower the good side. So it's going to be, I guess, for like Mary Margaret is going to be about, I don't know, David not, I don't know, like not doing enough of a good job to protect her and the baby, or like, I'm just trying to figure out like what, and obviously like, I guess their old Snow and Charming baggage comes into that too. So I don't know. I'm curious like what each person says they're going to be holding over the other one.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also brings some things to light maybe that we don't know. This is a really good way to, to pull out some skeletons of the closet that we may not know of.
You know what I think it's going to be really cool about is if we remember last year, there was the episode where they were in Neverland and they had to tell their deepest, darkest secret in order to get the bridge to cross.
Oh, in the Echo.
Yeah. That is one of my favorite episodes, by the way.
And I feel like it's almost the same thing because, like, during part of that, it was like, okay, I could have guessed some of those secrets, but some of, like, remember when we got to Emma's secret, I never guessed at all that was Emma's secret. And I feel like this year, it could be the same thing, that you don't really know what the deepest, darkest parts of things that people are harboring are. I think we're going to be in for a lot of really good surprises. Not good surprises, but, like, drama. Surprises.
Interesting, entertaining,
Yeah, stuff that could carry over into the second arc, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some stuff we could probably predict, but there's going to be other stuff that I think would be like, whoa, didn't know about that.
Right, is there, I never read ahead or read any spoilers. Is there, like, a plan for the second arc? Do we have any hints as to what it might look like, or?
There's a lot of villains coming into play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got Cruella de Vil, Maleficent, Ursula.
What now?
Yeah, they're all making their way over.
Oh my gosh.
And then the hunt for the Operation Mongoose is still on.
Right.
So we still got that to deal
with. Right. Who wrote the book? Right.
And so
and are we supposed to find out more about Will?
Yeah, like, Will's story is all supposed to be.
Thank God. I really need to find out what's going on with Will. I need to know his timeline, like, stat.
Agreed.
Well, maybe Hans will unfreeze someone and he'll be able to tell you exactly where Will is on the timeline.
Brittany is so bitter and I love it.
Let's have Hans Hans weigh in. Hans, what do you think about this? Let us know.
Hans, can you just do a nice info dump for us about Will? We just need some details. Just dump it all in there.
Just keep inviting him back to tell everything that needs to be said. Just anytime.
I could just picture, like, them cutting to a scene and he's sitting, like, in a big, giant armchair with a roaring fire and he's like, okay, here's what you missed.
He needs elbow patches if they do that.
Oh, no.
Last time in Storybrooke.
And he's, like, combing his sideburn.
Oh, my gosh.
We really should record so late, you guys.
Are you kidding me? This is the best.
This is gold.
So, all I know is that by the end of this season, by, like, you know, May when this wraps up, I need Gold to have gotten his. Like, he needs some payback. That's all I want out of this whole season. Is as much as I love Robert Carlyle, Gold needs to get a little smack
in
the face.
Yeah, I just don't see him coming back. I don't understand. Like, I don't think there's anybody else in the series who hasn't crossed a line where they're not redeemable. Because I feel like for every other person, there is a regret or they put other people first. And just Gold, just like I said, there, just anything that did, I just want Neil to come up from the grave and just kill him. I mean, it's like he's learned just nothing at all. And it's just,
and I was
really
hoping for it. And like episode one, by episode two, it was over. Like it was just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, unless they like reveal that there's some crazy like mind-altering disease thing going on or something.
Yeah,
basically dementia. All, you mean
he has a like, purple cloud?
I don't know.
I'm not even sure sort of... if like tough love from Belle and Henry saying I am leaving you, I don't care about you, or you've killed whatever love I had. Like I don't even know if that would matter to him. Like,
but it doesn't even make it redeemable,
right?
No, because he's used them as possessions, like we talked about. So all he's going to do is try to hold them tighter. He's not going to have an emotion about it,
right?
It's a thing for him to grasp. It's not a person for him to care about.
Well, and it's just like this thing with Hook. He has no reason to kill Hook. Like, he's gotten what he wanted.
No, he needs him. He needs
to get rid of the dagger.
To break his bond with the dagger. So he does need Hook's heart. Because Hook is the only one who knew him before.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting about that. I think I'm...
Yeah.
Hans could come in and, like, find someone who is in Storybrooke who also knew him beforehand and just reveal that this is all a ploy and Hook will be fine.
Because, yeah, this whole Hook thing is freaking me out, and I'm not okay with it. And...
No, I'm not okay. And I have a feeling that we're going to be left with a cliffhanger about that next.
Probably.
Yeah, like, next episode. Because, really, who else can they, like, play with our heartstrings with? Like, so readily available. Like, it is there. He is on the chopping block, and I have a feeling we're not going to know if the axe fell or not until, February?
March.
March 1st. Dude, there's going to be hate mail. I can feel it already. I will be penning it personally, depending on how this episode ends.
Well, we have two more.
Oh, two more episodes. Oh, okay. So there's time to really drag it out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, because the last episode, they need to introduce the arc for the second half.
So. Oh, of course they do. That's
right. It's sort of like the end of last season where the Wicked Witch ended two episodes, and then they were like, oh, two more. We're going to time travel.
Yeah, well, hey, I didn't mind that time travel
me
episode.
Either.
That
I thought
was
all right
two
of the best episodes of the season.
I know. I enjoyed those. All right, so does anyone have anything else for this episode that we've just talked about endlessly? No. I'll take that as a no. All right, so, guys, let us know what you thought about this episode, because clearly we are a staff divided. So we would love to hear your thoughts. As always, you can leave them on the podcast post, or you can send us your comments on Twitter or any of Brittany's lovely posts, because she keeps everyone nice and well informed. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Brittany.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.